All right. I hope I'm able to do some justice to whatever Seth said, but and I'd also like to clarify, I'm not exactly going towards the future of Sketcher right now. I'm just currently talking about how the refactoring was done. So let's get to that. First of all, of course, in case you haven't heard of FreeCAD, how are you here? But still, FreeCAD is an open source parametric 3D modeling software. It has been in development since for 22, 20, a lot of years. And you can basically model things of any size for any use. For more details, go where I point you. We have a stand at the AW building and the website if you are not here. Okay, and a bit about me. Basically, I'm a mechanical engineer and I have been a contributor to FreeCAD on and off since 2016. Nowadays, I've stabilized onto the Sketcher, part design, FEM, all those workbenches. And I also work part-time as a project staff at this cool project that you probably should also look at called Fosse at IIT Bombay. But that's all I'll say about it for now. We can meet offline about it. And you just search my name on LinkedIn and hope you find me. Okay. So let's move to the actual thing. So the point is, as I said, FreeCAD is well over 20 years old, and when you develop code for that long, and especially on a volunteer basis, you tend to accumulate a whole bunch of spaghetti code. Bunch of every bug basically, or every feature that someone wants to add gets added as a workaround, and somebody just keeps it there rather than rewriting it. And of course, there's also the fact that there are so many standards that have changed. C++ 20, it is not currently supported, but that's what we'll jump to the moment Ubuntu 20.04 support ends. So we'll have so many C++ standards. So yeah, it is about time to start looking at how to clean up the refactoring code. And the last year, around April, when we decided that we are ready to release the 1.0, that was a good time to start cleaning up at least on Sketcher. So why did I choose Sketcher? Well, the first reason is, of course, that is where I'm sitting. But why am I in Sketcher? Because that was kind of the first workbench that I had, that I worked on. That was the first workbench that I saw, and I saw that it had something that I would like. It didn't have something that I would like, and then I started working on that. And most other people see that they don't have something that they like, and then they put an issue. So, of course, not that I'm complaining. I'm just saying that's the first thing that you see. So that's where a whole bunch of issues happen. First, and so you can see, if you look at the GitHub issues, you'll see about 20, 30. I'm not sure exactly what percentage, but definitely 2 days back when we had FreeCAD days, maybe 75% of the issues were Sketcher issues. So, and of course, it has a large amount of a bunch of modules within it basically, that interact with each other, including a whole solver. So it's a good place to start, I guess. And hopefully I will move on to, or at least I'll direct to other workbenches. So basically, so to start refactoring, I guess we need like a set of basic things. We have maybe hundreds, thousands of places where we can actually refactor, where we can actually make changes and improvements so that things become readable. But we don't have all the time in the world. So how do we prioritize? And one measure was, of course, was this cognitive complexity, which is like you need to go in. I mean, I won't go into the details of it exactly, but it basically says don't go too deep in nesting, don't go too long, don't have too many if-else conditions, a whole bunch of things, and then it discounts a few things rather than the slightly older cyclomatic complexity. So that was the measure that we took, that, or at least I took. People are saying that we should, that, okay. So, and these are the books that I follow, basically. And I guess most of you probably have already read these, and you'll probably just say, oh, why am I just repeating the book? But let's go on. So the first thing that you need to do when we are refactoring is basically knowing what we are refactoring, and that itself can become a challenge when you have like 800 line functions. So then you can't really just say, oh, this is going to just trim this part off. We're going to say, okay, if it is this way, it will cut just this part. If it is this way, it will just cut this part. If I try to trim this part, I'm pointing at the background. It will cut this part, and then we have two other parts, and a whole bunch of if else cases. So that kind of document, that kind of at least idea, we need to have before we start going forward. And then, and once you do that, you start making tests. You don't touch the code until you have good tests, or at least that's what discipline says. I don't follow it, but that's what we're supposed to do. And by my experience, many of these methods probably like can take a dozen tests, each of them, maybe multiple dozens. Just be prepared for that, I guess. And I would hope to sometimes automate writing those tests as well, but until then, we'll get there. Okay, then going to the methods. I'll start with the simplest method that I went through, and this is basically clean up all the nesting. We have, is that a chalk? Yeah. So we have like this thing going on. Somehow try to clean it up to something like this. So that way we can get to like if this special case happens, do this and we are done, but if not, move on. So those kinds of things, they are kind of the simplest to manipulate, although I've still managed to insert bugs while refactoring that, but still, that's kind of the easiest event. and basically just follow the instructions I've written here. Then helper functions. As such, this becomes the next step after you've seen that, oh, you can't really clean up this thing too much. Make this a different function. Make this a different function. So, and probably you'll be able to use some parts here, some parts there. So we're there. So that's one. That's another method. And of course, and once you have that, you can also, you should also go for cleaning up, like using the algorithm library. So basically making C++, using the more functional aspects of C++, more like the functional programming aspects of C++. So you have, there's like a bunch of templated algorithms that you can use, makes your life a whole lot easier, clearly tells what you want to do rather than having to add a comment just before each for statement. So we go with that. And like even a simple for each can be useful, although I haven't used it myself. But I do believe that, okay, if you get nothing else, you can possibly just parallelize it in the future. Or when you try to parallelize it, consider using for each. And this is like the next step that I'm planning on. As I said, there was an 800 line method. How long was the class? 10,000 lines. So now we need to somehow repair everything in that sense. So I won't go into the details of exactly what that class was, because that probably needs knowing the entire structure of Sketcher. But yeah, it's called Sketch Object. Whoever knows that already knows what that is. And then I guess I'll just briefly talk about the challenges that I faced here. Of course, as I said, there's a limited amount of documentation, so you need to specify that actually make that work. Probably write that documentation yourself, or get someone who actually wrote the code to tell you. So that, and then the next problem was, okay, now I have the changes ready, but they can't be merged into 1.0, and some of them are not really ready yet. So as soon as 1.0 comes, maybe my first set of changes goes in, and then I work on the second set of changes, and then like 15 other developers have added 30 other changes into it. So that involves a bunch of conflict resolution. More or less. So that's done, and so yeah, this kind of gives you an idea of like, yeah, refactoring is an iterative process, especially when you're working with multiple people. And talking of multiple people, it would be best to that kind of everyone tries to refactor as they make changes to the code. And of course, as I said earlier, we could keep improving the readability, but we need to stop at some point. So basically, consider stopping. One example is when, I made this change, but then I'm going to add a new feature which will change that function again. So might as well refactor after that, or write that thing better. So yeah, that's about it. Thank you.
Any questions? So when you were analyzing the code, how much dead code did you find in Sketcher that wasn't actually used by anything?
Surprisingly little, I guess. There are
Can you repeat the question for the stream?
Okay. So I was asked how much of the Sketcher code was dead code, that which was like basically not used a lot. I don't think I encountered much like that. Although I should say that 800 line function, I had pretty much rewritten it entirely. So there's probably a lot of code there. I think there was just one method that was dead code, that is still dead code. I'm not exactly sure because it's part of the toponaming fixes thing. So that's going to be some work to figure out. But apart from that, it was mostly just repetitive code of the same thing. Yeah.
Your code revision, was it done fully manually? Or are there tools to help and automate this refactoring?
Okay. So... So I was asked, was the refactoring done manually, or were there some automation tools used? So identifying the places to improve the cognitive complexity, that was done by C-RankID, but mostly the refactoring was done manually.
Two questions. First question would be like, how do you make sure that the refactoring you're doing preserves the behavior of the function? Do you rely on tests and code review, or do you also rely on static code analysis or something like that?
So the question was, do I rely on tests for?
I can repeat it. Do you rely on tests and code review to make sure that the behavior of the function is preserved that you're refactoring, or do you also have kind of other tools to help you there?
So that was just tests, basically.
Okay. And another question is, like, if you make all this effort to refactor the code, how do you make sure that it lasts? You mentioned that you have analysis for cyclomatic complexity. Do you plan to enable, like, for example, plain-tidy checks that the cyclomatic complexity does not increase again in the future?
So the question was, once this refactoring is done, how do I ensure that cognitive complexity, but does that increase? How do we ensure that doesn't decrease further? And I guess we do have some CI tests that can complain that. Well, they complain about variable names, so I'm pretty sure they can complain about the cognitive complexity. The same tool is being used, C-RankID. So
plain-tidy also has this feature that you can flag if the cyclomatic complexity is above a certain threshold, and you can also enable it.
Yeah, so that's
while we're answering questions, I just want to get Felix up for the next talk. So, but continue with the answer.
So I was basically just suggested to use that C-RankID can complain about cognitive complexity increasing. And yeah, basically, I guess at some point we will activate that as well. Okay.
So thank you for the great presentation. If there are more questions, Ajinkya, you'll be outside, right?
Yeah, okay. I'll be around. I'll probably have some time at the FreeCAD booth.
And the FreeCAD booth is in building AW.
Yeah. Okay. And lastly, thanks to the FPA for the grants. This was basically funded through them. I should have mentioned that somewhere, but okay. Okay.
Let me mic you up while we're...